Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on X at jwright929 ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial and you want to stay up to date with everything happening here at the station, download the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can stream anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand with the rewind feature. And if maybe you don't prefer to use the Odyssey app, we're also streaming on the TuneIn Radio app as well as the iHeartRadio app. So just about anywhere you can find live radio, we are there. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey. I'll beat you to the punts. T-G-I-M. Thank God it's Monday.
Thank God it is Monday. Sitting across from me is the master of fun and games here in the Memphis area. His website, CerritoEntertainment.com. He's also the host of Writer Than Right Trivia, each and every Thursday, 10:30 on the Jeff Calkins Show. Follow him on the Everything app at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Greetings and salutations, everybody. Great. It is a great Monday coming off of a great weekend, but not so great for Josh. So we got to talk about some unfortunate news to hit this afternoon for the Memphis Grizzlies right before they tip off preseason tonight, which you can listen to right here on the flagship home of Memphis Grizzlies basketball, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Steven Adams is 2 years ago, correct? Like, right, and granted,
it was
Sunday, because I remember we had just taken my daughter's, like, infant pictures, you know, like where you pay the photographer to take, like, the really staged emotional pictures.
Unrealistic basically, photos. Like, it was before there was AI, there was these.
Correct.
Exactly.
They look AI.
You really got your kid in a basket like that with a blanket or. Yeah.
Basically, it's just so, like, you can give your mother something to, like, fill her house with. Mm-hmm. Like, those kind of photos. So we were taking those, and then we were in line.
And she had the Aquaman, like, jersey on, right?
No. For the picture. She had whatever, like, the expensive bassinet or whatever you call it. I don't know. But I was sitting in line after that at Whataburger, and then that was like when we got the Woj bomb. Like, in line at Whataburger.
Wow, we've had Whataburger for a while.
Yeah, man. And I was like, well, like, that was a gut punch.
What was the announced injury when it was Steve Adams' injury?
He had not recovered from, I think, the PCL tear in the fashion that he would elect to have surgery. Because remember, he could have had surgery at the end of the previous season, elected not to try to play the playoffs, and then they went to rehab, and then it was going to see like how it was in camp. And in camp, it was that weird situation where the organization was very upbeat and positive about it, but whenever you'd ask Steven, he was like, we'll see. Like, he was pretty up in the air about it, and the announcement was he was going to have season-ending surgery.
Right, it was season ending. So that was
on Sunday, and I think the opening game was Monday.
Right,
I'm sorry, Wednesday.
So that was very close, but it was such you knew when you read it, right? Like, oh no, this is awful.
It felt like
the jaw headline. I think it might be one of the best injury headlines you can see, because it is a when you see sprain, right? Like, that's the one injury. There's so many turf toe. Nobody knows what the hell turf toe is. But like,
still don't. We've had more instances of it. I still don't understand what it is.
How do you get on a basketball court if it's turf?
Like, correct.
But then you've got a sprain. Like, everybody's known a sprain. They either had a sprain or they've seen somebody, know somebody who has a sprain, and they know it goes by quickly. You could even win a dance competition at the Max with a sprained ankle. Shout out to Screech.
Absolutely.
So played through it. Yes. We know it's not that bad of an injury. So at least that's
Are we saying Screech is tougher than Ja Morant?
I am not, but I think the NBA is a little bit harder than a dance competition at the Max.
We've lost Dustin Diamond, right?
We have, yes. Yeah. R.I.P. to Screech, but
the back nine was not that great.
Yeah, but he's a legend. We appreciate his work.
Yes,
he's a legend, and gotta give credit though to Lisa Turtle as well in that dance competition. You gotta do the spraying.
That was definitely a storytelling perspective, because probably what the real answer was the world championship dancer that was dancing with him.
Right. AC Slater does not win that. You see that clip quite often of Mario Lopez dancing at the Max.
Nope.
But he did not win that competition. You got to admit, one of the biggest upsets of the early 90s, late 80s, when officially that episode aired, was like an 89-90 situation. But goodness.
No, that's later. That's because 89-90 is like when it was still like whatever, Good Morning, Miss Bliss.
Sure. Yeah. So yeah, it's a
probably like 92.
But this is the very first episode of Saved by the Bell is what we're referencing here for those who are so confused. But it's like episode
one.
But
we didn't get Slater until later.
Saved by the Well, true. They just back then, you know, they didn't air episodes in the right order. But there was
because remember we had Good Morning, Miss Bliss,
and then Slater,
and then they changed it to Saved by the Bell. But in syndication, they called Good Morning, Miss Bliss Saved by the Bell, and they just put the new.
It was repackaged because Good Morning, Miss Bliss was on Disney Channel for Haley Mills' property, and then they kept some of the characters, moved everybody. I could do 2 hours on Saved by the Bell. This is my show. We won't do that though. But
don't threaten us.
But they should. Last thing on Saved by the Bell though. Like tonight, the Grizzlies. Is it too late to get a do the sprain dance cam? We could have a sprain dance cam, right? Everybody could do the sprain tonight. See who. Little callback for our.
I mean, I would like to say with the production team, it's never too late, but I also think there's an air of taking themselves a little too seriously.
They're not going to do the sprain.
Yeah.
Not tonight. All right. Well, that's fine.
So I do think there's an interesting question here.
But anyway, it's not as scary of an injury. Like, we can compare it. Yes, it's compare it timeline-wise and like team-wise. It matches up with Steven Adams and Aquaman. But this one, I'm not too concerned yet. But maybe I'm just
okay. So I think
an idiot.
Let's discuss a couple of the mechanics of it. So the first person I saw that had it was DeMichael, and I'm not saying DeMichael was scooping everybody, but I did not see, as George pointed out off the air, we did not have, for most of us that are in this business, we have alerts set up for the Grizzlies PR account, so that whenever they do announce injuries or they announce like big time news, it comes from that, and so you can at least know, okay, I didn't miss a big Grizzly story for an hour. We did not have the Grizzlies PR tweet. Now, the way DeMichael wrote...
Shout out to DeMichael, though, like in an era that... Yeah,
correct. The way DeMichael wrote it, it was almost like he got an inbox in his email. Like, that was how it was written. So, we now know that Ja Morant suffered a sprained ankle yesterday at practice, and he is week to week. So we can assume that means we're obviously not seeing him tonight, where the Grizzlies will begin preseason action against the Pistons. I guess I'm going to choose to acknowledge we do have Ja Morant injury PTSD, and anytime you see injury report Ja Morant, it makes you feel...
Right, that's the scary part.
You probably always go to the extreme.
It's not just Ja, but it's also the whole team. As you bring,
but I think Ja. Anytime you read Ja's name in a tweet with injuries,
you don't want to happen.
Because also embedded in that is the fundamental understanding: if this team's going to be good, he's going to have to play. The more he's on the floor, the better I feel about the team. If you want to talk to me, what is the best way for the Grizzlies to be one of the surprise teams in the West this year? It's to have Ja Morant on the floor many, many games.
I mean, he is the key to the Grizzlies exceeding expectations.
Yes.
And actually winning an NBA championship. Like, if he is healthy, this team can win. Like, any team with John Morant has a chance to go to the NBA Finals if it breaks right with Ja healthy. Obviously, he's not healthy today.
I'll say Western Conference Finals. They're going to need luck.
Well, you got to get past the Thunder,
right?
Yes,
or somebody else has to beat them.
Somebody else could get hurt. Right. You know, and they will. Other teams will get hurt at this point, right? It happens every year in this NBA that we're currently in. But a healthy Ja, the ceiling is so much higher.
Yes,
but the question is, will we ever see it again? A healthy Ja. I'll take a sprained ankle over any other possible. Like, that seems like an easy one to do. It's not messing with his hands. He can, you know, the sprained ankle, everybody comes back from that.
I think, I guess if we want to play like real spin zone, like get it out of the way in preseason.
Before the season goes.
Like, I guess this would be a couple of the questions. Like, number one, how much will this impact Ja Morant learning the quote unquote new system? I'm actually going to set that aside and say I'm not that concerned by it because I think the entire system is designed. How can we feature Ja Morant in the best way? And so I think it's going to be a system that's very comfortable for him. So I'm not necessarily worried about it from that perspective.
Is he injured because of the new system? Can we blame that already? They're supposed to be going super fast. Remember the speed? That's going to be the fastest.
It's a fair question, of course.
They're going 88 miles an hour out there.
I'm going to guess probably not. I'm going to guess what might be, and this is where it starts to become a real question, and this is a question that I know that has been posed many times. George even asked it before the show. Where I do think we have to ask the question is, how much can we contribute to it is a undersized guard that has a very physical style of play? And since we don't know the video, we don't know anything. Right. I guess we can set aside. It's like, we don't know what exactly triggered this instance.
Well, we know what
but
you
we
said
do know,
is.
But we do know what is true is there have been lots of instances where he gets hurt.
We've seen it in our own eyes in the playoffs. You know, just recently we saw, I mean, that is how Ja gets injured is because of his size and his style of play, which is also, I mean, we say that makes the ceiling higher because of his abilities to do that. But if you're going to get hurt this often, it's concerning, but I'm all in on Ja, and like, there's no better person to back this team up and rep this team in this city at this moment than him. And I just hope we can figure out maybe under this new coach too, like, is the style of play, is there a way to, I don't know if there's a way for Ja to be his best without getting hurt because of how he plays. Cause we haven't really seen
I think the only way you can say it is like, well, if he just all of a sudden becomes like a 40% three-point shooter and he's starting to have to go to the rim less. Because, like, if you think about it, really the only guy that physically profiles like him, and which is not the biggest guard that has had championship success, is Steph. But I can't think of two guys that have a different play style than Steph and Ja Morant.
Right, so you're just comparing size.
But I'm just
saying, under
like, physically.
Under the current rule structure in the NBA, what we saw in the playoffs with Ja getting injured under the basket, like, it's going to happen.
Well, and I think also it's important to note, I don't know how the numbers bared out, but I certainly know watching it, I think they allowed more contact in the paint last year in regular season basketball. Now, you always have to remember, this league can change on a whim, and if they start to look at, wait a minute here, we got Tatum out for the year, we've got Haliburton out for the year, we've had basically what we feel like is our last three or four playoffs largely dictated massively by injuries, are we going to try and figure out some way to avoid that? Maybe tell them, hey, we wanted you to tighten up the foul calls, but now we don't. Like, I don't, like, the same reason that they could change and say we're allowing for more contact, they could on a whim change their mind again.
Right.
But again, I don't necessarily know one way or the other if that like impacts Ja, because what it could just be is slight frame and there's just no way to protect yourself that much.
Yeah. So the injury is not that bad in comparison to what it could be. The timing, not that bad in comparison to what it could be, because at least we're just into preseason. However, I mean, you're looking at now the Grizzlies officially have a starting lineup practically that is injured here with Ja joining. Jaren Jackson's not playing tonight. Zach Edey's not playing tonight. Brandon Clark's not playing tonight. I mean, there's a lot of players not getting in on what is supposed to be learning the new system time to get ready to get off to a hot start. That's definitely, there's not an advantage at all for the Grizzlies going into the season. I would think in that regard, when you have this many important pieces not participating.
No, I think the advantage is you hope with the week-to-week designation, there was no verbiage about reevaluation, whatnot. What you're hoping is, hey, he turned his ankle yesterday. They're going to be very cautious. It's preseason. They want him to play night one. So,
right. That's how I see it. I'm not panicking yet, you know, because it's preseason. It's preseason. It's spring.
It is preseason, but there is still just this weird dynamic of, like, just anytime you read his name on an injury report, it just makes everybody think a certain way. And like, I'm not saying everyone's being ridiculous. Like, I that is a learned behavior.
I mean, it's a conversation. I hope that we can, you know, we need one full Ja healthy season. And I'm not even going to count this against him. If he's back in time for regular season, like, I'm not counting this into the how many games does Ja play. Like, it's preseason basketball. And it doesn't matter to me. But I'm not counting it against his quota yet. But we'll see. What's the over-under that the Vegas is giving for Ja? I guess it's changing at the by the second. I mean, what would you be comfortable betting on?
I don't see a ton of futures, but
what would you be comfortable
betting? George, would you, I don't know, the first number that came to my head was 55 and a half.
Well, that's,
so 65 is the threshold to win all the awards. And so players want that. I just don't know. And maybe you could say, if you saw 56 and a half, too many people would hit the over. But I think DeMichael included in his story last year 35 games he missed.
Okay, missed 35 out of the 82?
Sorry, he missed 32 regular season games. So he got to 50.
He got to 50. So that's a good 50 and a half is a good good basis if you're betting. You're betting your money. Right. Hopefully it's a lot more than that. But yeah.
Okay, does anybody else have any additions to how they're feeling about Ja Morant PTSD on opening preseason night?
No. It takes away some excitement of the actual game tonight, but you know.
I guess we're going to get a good look at how they're going to try to play without Ja Morant.
And that's important. I do think that's important. It really is important.
I mean,
there's going to be games that Ja's not going to play. So.
I am interested to see, do they tip their hand at all about how they're trying to sort out the crowd on the wing? Because there's a lot of guys. And I think beyond that, it's just like, all right, Cedric Coward's going to be in a Grizzlies jersey. I think that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, that's what we're looking forward to. And he seems healthy, right?
Knock on wood. I mean,
That was the issue with Summer League. We didn't get to see.
It definitely took out a lot of interest for me in Summer League. All right, let's get to the weekend that was. All right, I think my first overreaction. Let's focus on some college football.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Jeffrey, we went in like it was not. We had such an awesome slate the week prior,
yep.
Right? And this week we knew you were talking about what you're going to talk about on Monday when you come in here, and it's like, we're going to see some massive upsets. If something happens this weekend, it's going to be a massive upset.
Correct.
Pretty much what you're saying.
Because of the way that, like, I'd gone out, I'd laid it out with George.
There's not even true top 25 teams battling each other.
Vanderbilt and Alabama, and then Florida State and Miami. And those two games to me were controlled by the better team.
Like, right. And my goodness, Miami is the best team in the country.
I'm still
without question. But Florida State did battle back. I turned that one off and I looked at the final and I was like, man, if I didn't watch that first half, I would think it was a good game.
Was that a crystal ball special?
So I want to give him a little credit. He was going up and down the sideline yelling at his guys like, you've lost focus.
Yeah.
Now, I also think there's a little Norvell special where Norvell historically has like known how to like, the back door's always open.
Yeah.
Like kind of make that final score is not indicative.
It's not.
I think what was interesting was if you would have listened to the discussion around the game, and maybe this is a good thing. I actually probably would argue it is. The way everyone talked about that game was that the final score was basically whatever, 27-7. Or what, you know what I mean? Like what the game felt like. Now, on paper, it's not like that. And so does maybe if Florida State's going to get into this beauty pageant contest, is that going to be something? Well, if Miami winds up being the best team. But I think my biggest overreaction from the weekend.
Let's hear it.
I think there are three teams that are playing for a title.
Miami is one. Ohio State's the other. Your third one.
Oregon.
How dare you say that about Ole Miss?
I think the SEC.
Oh, no, I agree.
I think the SEC's playing for bids. And I also think this. I don't think you should just sniff at the thing that I like about the 12-team playoff.
You listed three teams and none of them in the SEC.
Correct. And I don't think that's – I think that's going to be more of the same because we are talking about what it takes to have an actual title roster. And to me, there are only two programs in the SEC that can fund it. And one is a team that I will say I am open to. I don't think they eye test it, pass it for me, but I'm open to the idea that like I'm not closing the book and dismissing them. Texas A&M. I think they're clunky on offense, and I think if you got them into a game against these other three teams that I think have elite offenses, I'm not sure that they would be comfortable, but I'm open to the idea that they have the money to fund one of these title-type rosters and that we should keep an eye on them. Totally fine. They're undefeated, and maybe we'll look up at the end of the year and be like, hey, man, everybody thought there was going to be this massive chaos in the SEC. Well, no, there's just one team that was better than everybody. It was the other Texas team. It wasn't the Texas team that we thought coming in, but it's the same issue with Texas where I think they have the ability to fund it, but now they got a quarterback problem.
Right, and we're getting into full bracketology later. It's the Monday special here. We got to see where the Tigers land.
I'll leave one other team that I'm open
but
to.
What? There's I'm one also more that's open not to, an SEC team, though.
I'm open to the idea that Texas Tech also has funded their roster.
Ooh.
The problem with Texas Tech, and I think y'all would agree with me on this, Texas Tech might be really good, but because they're playing in a league that's not going to offer the most resistance, you're just not going to have any idea.
And it's part of the name on the jersey situation, because what is so great about college football right now is it's all new in a lot of ways, right? There seems to be new opportunities for a lot of teams that have not really had the opportunity because of the 12-team playoff, because of the way that money is distributed now to the players and in the NIL and all of that. There are new powers slowly being born in this era, or at least not necessarily powers, but people who have more control and better positioning as far as winning go, right? So we have, it seems, some fresh faces and with new opportunities, and it's so exciting. And Texas Tech is one of those teams that I feel like could jump into that conversation. I agree with you. Texas A&M, like we went into the weekend with them, and I know you were saying, well, let's see how they really play Mississippi State here. And then they ended up just beating the devil.
Dominating.
Right? Just dominating. The game was started close. I think Mississippi State scored first, right? It was real close. And then I was like, boom, there they go.
Yeah, it was like once their defense found their footing, because State busted a run early, but then they only got three out of it. And then they had another drive that kind of came up empty. But it was like once they locked in, they just dominated the football game, and then they got the running game going. And then you saw what Mississippi State's problem was going to be, which was coming into the year, everyone that I trusted was like, listen, they're going to be better, but they're not deep. And they've taken a couple of injuries on the offensive line, and you saw they couldn't protect Shapen, they couldn't run the ball. And so you see those types of teams that maybe their starting groups on both sides are pretty good. Once they start to take injuries, they can't hang. The reason why I'm with you on the idea of what we are in college football now is there is no, for the first time in my life, I feel like there is nothing structurally that prevents you from winning. Because the way that it's always been is historically, whenever you had a usurper or a disruptor come in, hey, that's not the right team that's winning. Everybody turns on themselves. That team gets on probation. You put them down.
Right.
And so you
exactly.
keep all the other teams up. Well, now, nothing is preventing Indiana from having an elite program. Nothing's preventing Texas Tech. The only thing is,
it's Georgia Tech, even. We're going to get into bracketology, but like Georgia Tech is in the playoffs right now if the season ended today.
It is just a... It is a...
Georgia Tech!
It's a choice. Do you want to spend...
If you can find the money. You got to find the money.
It is kind just of a choice. Now, you can argue whether or not you want your program doing it. It's fine, but there's nothing structurally...
There's not a, let's go after SMU and slap violations on you to prevent you from becoming one of the big boys. There's not a Nick Saban around who has perfected the old system and could dominate the old system, and nobody could take that away from him. Like, nobody has figured out exactly how to dominate the current day yet.
So Ohio it's still State up might and down. Have.
They might have. We're early. Early.
I'm open to the idea that they have.
It's a little early, though, but I agree with you. They're the only team that's back this year from last year. In the position, and they won last year, so they have a position to do just as well. But
if you want to argue Miami should be the number one team because of resume, I'm fine with that.
100% right now they should be.
I've also noticed this.
But you can't take, you know, the rankings in the AP is tricky.
There's a lot of, I don't know if this is coming from SEC people or like, there's just a lot of Ohio State ain't played nobody. And I'm like, the only people in my opinion that don't think Ohio State's good are the people that really haven't watched them. Because when you watch them, you're just like, holy hell.
I don't want to have to watch that, Jeffrey.
Well, again, if you don't want to watch them beat Minnesota 42-3.
There's a lot of games on Saturday.
I totally agree. But what I'm saying is, when you watch them, you are left going, oh my God. Because on defense, they have like six defensive linemen that are all awesome. Their back end is doing provocative stuff. In the secondary. Like, they're doing...
Downs is disgusting, by
the way.
They're
doing unbelievable stuff. And then on offense, yes, they have a young quarterback, but the difference to me is they're asking their young quarterback, like, they're bringing him along slowly. I think they're actually executing the plan with Saiyan that Texas wanted to execute with Arch, but Saiyan's doing it. Like, when they ask him to make a big throw, he makes a big throw, but they're not asking him to do it that often. And then on top of that, it's like, if he just wants to push, like, there's four receivers that would be, like, number ones everywhere.
That's the other thing that with Arch in Texas is the supporting cast, especially that line, have not turned out to be as good as we thought.
Let's talk about that 1-2, Jeffrey. This was the weekend that officially Texas and Penn State, they have now fallen out of the top 25. They both had embarrassing losses over the weekend. Penn State's the most embarrassing. I would think because they lost to UCLA.
They lost to like Superman.
A UCLA team that has not led in a game all season long. They have not led in the season in a single game.
The guy that called plays was not calling plays on Monday. He didn't get the job until Tuesday.
I
guess you could make the argument, hey, from a Penn State perspective, that's why they weren't prepared, because they didn't have any of the film, and they came out with a completely different... I can buy
it
that.
It wasn't a whiteout. Yeah,
what's the explanation for the fact that you couldn't score?
I mean, this was, what, a top 10 team?
What New Mexico did. They went into an empty Rose Bowl and beat UCLA.
It has been since before Saved by the Bell debuted. We're talking 1985 that an 0-4 team has beaten a top 10 team.
Wasn't there a Tournament of Roses storyline on Saved by the Bell at one point? I think there's a Tournament of Roses parade storyline somewhere.
There's somewhere buried in. But it was 1985 was the last time an 0-4 team defeated a top 10 team. And it happened to Penn State. James Franklin, who, like, oh my God, what are you doing up there now with him?
Well, I mean, they are now officially the unhappiest marriage you can possibly have. Because here's the reality. His buyout is such that if you're Franklin and you go, you don't want me to be the coach, like, cool, pay me. But now you're at this position where, all right, if you raise $50 million, are you really going to throw that and say, like, we don't want the coach? Because I would argue, take that money and then just go buy the rest of the roster.
Yeah.
I would much rather have... mediocre coach that I don't believe in. Like, is Joey McGuire really this much better of a coach than he was the last couple of years at Texas Tech? I find it hard to believe.
No, I mean, I don't know what they do, because he came in at the right time for that school. They needed him there, and it turns out he might just be this transitional coach.
Well, he happens to be the, like, they have the good fortune that there is a guy that played offensive line at Texas Tech, loves the school, and he's a billionaire. It's the same thing with Miami. Miami has a guy that is a crypto multi-billionaire, and it just so happens he went to middle school with Mario Cristobal, and he said, I want the U to be back, but the U's only going to be back if my guy's the coach.
Well, so what? Okay, so I felt like the Penn State loss was definitely the worst because, I mean, Florida.
Oh, I think this is true.
Losing at the swamp, Texas losing in the swamp by a little over a touchdown.
No, to me, like, that game ended up being, I think, where you can describe. Because I was telling George.
Florida may or may not, you know, do they.
Florida's a different team.
Florida's going to fire their coach or not fire their coach. Penn State.
What's Dallas's last name? Wilson? Who the receiver? So.
Oh, the kid who made his debut.
Yes.
Yes.
He missed the first four games with, I think, a hammy. He had an injury for the first four games. And
kid's electric.
All of a sudden, he's inserted into the lineup. And then you're like, oh, this is why there was hype going in. Because he makes everything work. And I do think
what's so interesting is this week, it's Texas A&M versus Florida.
Correct.
Will Florida keep playing spoiler and then
end
up keeping their coach at the end of the season?
Well, it's like,
or not. I mean,
it's like, can an 8-4 Florida still be a playoff team?
Their schedule
is brutal.
Because they do have to play Georgia. They got to play Ole Miss. They got to play Tennessee. They got to play Florida State and A&M. All those teams ranked right now in the top 25.
And it's like, okay, if they win 8-4,
they got to beat Mississippi State. That's a very fascinating game coming up later on this month. And they still have Kentucky, you know, on the schedule.
I do think it would be hilarious if everyone's all down on Texas. I think I'm just going to bet Texas this week.
You're betting Texas?
I think everyone's just going to be like, Red River exists.
Texas, Oklahoma.
Red River
weekend,
exists on a plane that no other football game does. It never makes any sense. Trying to make any sense out of it is an exercise in futility. There's just no way that Texas should win this game, and then it's like, okay, they will.
From preseason expectations, there's that idea that they have the team.
Well, also,
that they have the roster needed to be successful.
Shout out to my Golden Flashes. Nobody beats Kent State by 45.5. Oklahoma put up 44. Not 45.5.
Nope.
Michael Hawkins Jr.
I was going to say a Michael Hawkins special right there for us.
Got a lot of field goals early.
So you tell
a
me.
A lot of field goals.
Penn
was
State
not punching it in the end zone.
Penn State or Texas, do either of them have a – can they work their way back up? I mean, you're talking about the idea of Florida getting themselves in the playoffs, which the SEC is still that wide open. What you're saying, you know, could be considered disrespectful to Texas A&M or Ole Miss, these teams that are currently at the top of the SEC, which right now I see no reason they're falling, right?
I'm not saying that they're falling, but to me there's a difference between – a playoff team and a title contender.
There is definitely that because, I mean, Memphis is a playoff team right now. So I do think
I'm not even just saying just the G5. Like, to me, it's like,
no, I'm saying,
and maybe I'll be wrong.
No,
maybe
we just named
wrong,
the
like,
names
for instance,
like it's bananas.
I still don't think Alabama's a title team. I think they're very good, and I think it's entirely possible that we could take this circuitous route and just be wind up right where we were in the summer, which was I kind of thought Alabama was the best team coming into the year in the SEC.
Right, yeah.
And maybe we take the circuitous route, but it's like I have a tough time thinking that Alabama is going to win if, like, having to win the three games, basically having to beat at least one of these other teams, if not two, I have a tough time saying that they can do that.
No, under what we've seen so far and this current regime's ability to lose games that they're not supposed to lose, it's going to be tough. They don't seem like an unstoppable force for sure. But, I mean, there's Georgia Tech. Like we mentioned earlier, Georgia Tech is currently in the playoffs. So there's going to be, you know, being a playoff team and being able to win it all is different, and it is confusing. That's why I was saying, can Texas find their way into the playoffs?
I mean, they can
still
in
think
the sense that
it's, think it's
if
possible.
They win
they
out.
They got to play Oklahoma, Kentucky, Mississippi State, Vanderbilt. They do have a kind of easy schedule. They get considered get up against anybody else. They got Oklahoma and Georgia and A&M. But then they got obviously, if you're in the SEC, you're going to have those type of games. But with Vanderbilt, Mississippi State,
this.
And Kentucky, and Arkansas, four of their teams are the four of SEC teams not in the top 25.
We still don't know how they're going to use this strength of schedule metric that they've been given.
Sure.
I do think I'm at the point with Penn State that if they do not win out, I think it's going to be very difficult. I think they're going to have to beat both Indiana and Ohio State and then not trip up.
Yeah.
I do not see them going into Columbus and winning that game.
No.
But are they done? No. Their path is they have zero margin for error. Texas, if we wind up seeing that Texas A&M separates themselves, and let's say Texas wins every game on their schedule except for A&M. That game's a close football game.
That means they're beating Georgia and Oklahoma.
Correct. They're at 9-3. I'm not willing to say that team's done because I don't know if they'll punish them for losing by a score in week one in Columbus.
Which, yeah, they probably shouldn't be. That's one of the interesting final scores of early on in this season. But, I mean, I feel like here we are October 6th. Like, it's something that I don't know how much in this new era, right? We're judging everything kind of, it's kind of new rules and we're trying to figure out how everything lands. But the idea that we had the number one team and the number two team fall from the top 25 by the start of October.
Are y'all in agreement with this? Penn State losing at UCLA is the funniest loss of this decade. I think it was definitely funnier than Notre Dame. Notre Dame losing to Northern Illinois. Can disagree. Yeah. I thought, because I've never really liked James Franklin. Like, I think he's
really?
Scummy.
Really?
He covered up rape. He tried to cover up rape, and then when he saw the video of him trying to cover up rape, like, he had to change his tune at Vanderbilt. I've just always thought he's a super scummy guy. I've never had that high hopes of him. When he gets beat, it's very funny because he also just, like, he has the reaction shots of, like, how is this happening? And I just find it very funny.
I mean, so far it was, it was funny.
I guess
it was pretty
funny.
Yeah. It was.
But is Vanderbilt last year beating Alabama funnier? Because that's the other thing.
I had a lot of fun with that on Saturday. We were back out at the casino,
guys,
right?
This team
when the Alabama
did not
fans
have
were there.
A win. We were talking about whether or not a power team could go 0-12.
If you're judging by funny or entertaining, I mean, there's a lot of, like, personally, because of where
we
live.
The transitive property stuff is so freaking funny right now.
Right.
Like, who's New Mexico lost to?
Because where we live, the Alabama-Vanderbilt last year, I had more fun on Saturday going into the game because we were back out at the Caesars Sportsbook at Horseshoe Casino in Tunica playing some football frenzy live trivia is down there with Gabe Kuhn and Connor Dunning, and we'll be back there on November the 8th. You guys should come down. It is free to play the trivia and hang out at the sports book, watch all the games, enjoy some great food, and win some awesome prizes. But
so New Mexico State lost to San Jose State, who lost to Stanford.
New Mexico or New Mexico State?
New Mexico went into
Lost at San Jose State, but they beat UCLA a couple weeks ago.
Correct. But my point is, the same team that was able to go into the Rose Bowl and beat UCLA also lost to San Jose State, who lost to Stanford.
Correct.
That is the team that Penn State couldn't beat. It was hilarious to me. Like, there was just the whole game. It's like, I think it was when Penn State blocked the punt, I was like, oh, okay, well, this is where it ends. Nope, they still scored twice more. Like, and it's just like, they couldn't stop the run. Nico literally looked like the prince that was promised. Like, every Nico supporter, it's like, this is what he was always billed and meant to be. And he looked like that, and he looked like it against Penn State, who's paying their defensive coordinator $3.1 million. And they couldn't figure it out. But I did learn that, hey, the guy that was supposed to spy Nico was hurt, so, okay. And also, James Franklin, like, just when it's, like, he's never been, like, the, when it's not working, he makes the adjustments guy. It's like, it either works or it doesn't. This was hilarious.
It was a great weekend.
It was just awesome.
It was a great weekend for you, for sure. I know we got to take a break, and we got to get to Memphis here. How much time do we have?
Let's take a break and let's move. Let's talk Memphis. We got everybody's looking to the playoff. Everybody's clearing their schedule. Does game day need to be coming here in a couple of weeks? Let's talk about all that when we come back right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale going on right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
All right, Kevin, as our leading college football playoff bracketologist, what's caught your eye this week?
Well, I mean, Memphis is, in most predictions, of course, slotted in that 12th spot. As Memphis returned to the top 25, that is the big Memphis development over the weekend. I mean, they won the Tulsa game the way they were supposed to win it, Jeffrey. I think certain numbers matter because perception matters when it comes to college football in so many different ways. And the fact that Memphis was able to, once again, take care of their opponent, but also take care of the spread, right? 45
to 7. Style points matter. It's a beauty contest.
45-7 against the Tulsa Golden Hurricanes. We had some Tulsa fans that were hanging out with us at the casino that made the trip, did some pre-gaming at Horseshoe, playing some trivia with us. It was really cool. But yeah, so Memphis winning that and getting back in the top 25, and so is South Florida back in the top 25. So many of these playoff predictions, people still at this point, you don't have to pick the highest ranked, best record team that is the Memphis Tigers right now outside of the power conferences. You could go with South Florida, who has the best win, right? They have the best win from outside the power conferences. So but most of them, they're still projecting Memphis because Memphis is in the top 25. It matters to be in the top 25, I believe, for so many reasons. Jeffrey, I hear you disparage the top 25 for reasons you say you don't care. You don't really care. It doesn't matter to you as much as it does. I think for a team like Memphis, you need to be associated. When you're in the top 25 and you're not the biggest of brands, it really matters and really gives you that sense of legitimacy to the casual fan. And not just the casual fan. Like, I mean, I watch college football every Saturday, but I look at the schedule and my eyes go to the numbers before anything else. And I want to see numbers versus numbers.
Where
and
I
it
do
matters
acknowledge,
where you get, where it matters I do acknowledge, who you pay attention to.
I don't think it matters in terms of how the teams should be like viewed. What I do think, or evaluated, maybe I should say, where I do acknowledge it matters is if you have a ranking and everybody right. pulls up their phone and checks scores,
It defaults to the top 25.
And I acknowledge
it. And now we don't have to go check that button at the top and switch it to see what the Memphis score is.
I do think awareness matters.
It does. And I think just the idea, people who are looking to watch a game and you're planning your Saturdays, it kind of defaults to the top 25 because that having that number next to your name signifies that this is a team that's important that could be up to something in this country. So it's very important that Memphis is back in the top 25 right here. You know, getting close to the middle of the season, the ranking is great. Of course, we're already in such a, it doesn't really matter, like becoming bowl eligible. Memphis, the first team to also become bowl eligible over the weekend too, Jeffrey, which is
That's also
insane. Like, it's the number of games played.
Well, but. I was just say, I think it just helps that Memphis just has apparently very late buys.
Right, they got a bye this weekend. Right, we've got this is a BYE weekend, and then we've got UAB.
Excuse me, open dates.
Yeah, whatever you want to call them. But Memphis,
those are things bye weeks.
Memphis officially bowl eligible, which shout out to Ryan Silver. Look, I'm liking his attitude. Like, he's not caring about being bowl eligible, which is like, that is the true attitude you need to have. Nobody cares about these bowls that Memphis could play in. That's not what this is about. This is about winning the conference and making it to the college football playoff.
I think what we've also established in this era of college football, and particularly in the conference that they're in, the absolute floor should be making a bowl.
Absolutely. I agree.
Memphis is too good of a job right now to where making a bowl should be like some type of achievement.
Correct. And like receiving votes in the
but
top 25.
But it is a
25.
Fun stat. But, hey, we're the first team to 6 wins.
But Memphis in the top 25, but USF also back there. So that's very interesting as we watch that week. We'll put a pin in this idea of game day for a second. But I want to look at if the playoffs happen today. Jeffrey, I know there's so many of these projections now. It's mostly people just having fun with who's ranked the best and who has the best record in these conferences. That's pretty much what it is. And that's why Memphis is slotted in that 12 spot on many of these. It's so much fun. This is what it's about, is when you have a team that can actually make it, which Memphis can, you know, now has such an easier route than so many teams to make it to the college football playoffs. Memphis at number 12 against Georgia in the Yahoo projections. What do you think about that,
Mike? Okay, so I'm very curious about Georgia in general, because watching them, like on Saturday, if you were just doing the scoreboard watching,
yeah,
I want to be very clear. If you were somebody that had Georgia minus 21.5, and I did not, like I had nothing on that game. Kentucky scored a garbage touchdown after the backup quarterback throws a pick and it ends up being a 21-point game. But if you were like watching the game, that was one of the least impressive Georgia dominant performances I've ever seen. Kentucky, who's god awful on offense, was still moving the ball throughout the game. Right. And I still keep coming back to it. I know he's a good dog. I know he drives a pickup truck. I don't have the Gunnar Stockton gene. And I don't know, man. I'm very
so you like the idea of Memphis versus Georgia, and they
well the most
be going to
it's interesting
to
because
Athens.
The most common projection that I keep seeing across everything is the 5-12 game. It's been Ole Miss and it's been Memphis.
That
ESPN has it. I have seen The Athletic have it. I think someone at On 3 also had it. That seems to me to be the most common matchup.
What I think was. And I'm going to be at this point, if Memphis makes playoff, I'm going to be disappointed if it's not an SEC team, because every single projection I have seen as far as the bracketology goes, it's Memphis versus a number 5 SEC opponent. You said Ole Miss seems to be the dominant one this week, which is awesome. That would be, for the record, my preference. I would like to see a 12-5 Memphis matchup in Oxford for because I believe Memphis fans, you can believe even more that you could actually win the game down there in Oxford. And you actually go to the game fairly easily. It would be awesome. A sporting event that would be talked about for generations. Memphis versus Ole Miss in the college football playoffs, 12-5. But the Oklahoma could be number 5. Texas A&M could still be 5. I mean, I know you're thinking like maybe Texas A&M could win the SEC, but they're projected in some of these matchups against Memphis. As we mentioned, Georgia. So it really is Ole Miss. Any of them would be fantastic. That seems, especially if we go in the SEC direction, I'm not sure the matchups is what you want, Oklahoma and Texas A&M.
I was thinking about this. George, see if you agree. Okay. if our suspicion is correct, uh-oh, in that Ohio State and Oregon are going to go undefeated and meet in the Big Ten, in the Big Ten championship game, are we all in agreement that they're not going to punish whoever loses that game? That those teams are getting by
in the top four. Yeah, I believe I believe they need.
Absolutely. I just find it hard to believe that they're going to punish. Okay.
Especially since they went to straight seeding this year. 100%.
I think
on opposite sides of the bracket. Yeah.
I know everybody's holding out for just let Miami, Miami. I still think this team's different. I've never seen Cristobal have a team that is good on both sides of the ball like this. So if they go undefeated, they're going to be maybe the loser of the Big Ten game drops from 2 to 3.
Sure. Right.
But okay, I think we have 3 of the top 3 teams.
That's what we think of today. I mean, it's going to be surprising. It's going to take a collapse from one of those 3 teams to not make it. And that leaves the other spot for the SEC.
Or is it like Texas Tech going undefeated and winning every game by double digits in the Big 12?
I mean, because it could be. Right now, many projections have them like around that sixth spot.
I'm very close to thinking Texas A&M might be the SEC's best chance at still getting a bye because they haven't taken a loss.
Once again, throwing shade at Ole Miss, though, here.
If Ole Miss goes undefeated, they're going to be...
Yeah.
I mean, they'll make it. That's a task.
I think most Ole Miss fans are not even doing the, oh, we're going 12-0. I understand there's always going to be fans out there going, oh, we're going 12-0. But I live with an Ole Miss fan. And my entire family are Ole Miss people. Everybody's just doing the, well, go 10-2, and you're in. Like, no one's doing the whole, and maybe if they go and they beat Oklahoma, they go and beat Georgia in 2 weeks, maybe all of a sudden their tune changes. But everybody's mainly just thinking, like, all right, either split the Oklahoma and Georgia games and get to 11-1, see if you can get to the SEC championship game. But everyone is like, I've not heard a ton of 12-0.
LSU game did not change your opinion on them at all. But
no, I think they're good, but it honestly changed my opinion on LSU more.
I'll agree with that. Yeah. Like, but at like, no point...
Just being hard on the University of Mississippi because you're so close to it.
No, it's literally... Yes.
I've been burned too many times.
Yeah, no, I understand. But like, I'm just saying, I watched the fan base.
Yeah.
And the fan base, no one's doing the 12-0 thing.
Well, we don't, like, as for my scenario, my dream scenario, which is Memphis versus Ole Miss, I don't want Ole Miss to necessarily win the SEC because I do feel like that fourth spot, depending on how it shakes out, like, right, if somehow all these teams in the SEC start losing more games, then it's going to be a little bit different to get that fourth spot. It's going to be hard for me to believe that one of the top four seeds is not coming from the Southeastern Conference.
Okay, what I'm saying is the way that it's playing out. Now, there's also a scenario where they may not have the top four seeds, but they could have 5 teams in the field.
Right. 5 through a lot.
Yes.
I could see that.
Well, they could, and because, I mean, right now, a lot of the projections, you're looking at Alabama, A&M, Ole Miss, Georgia, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Like, those are the 5. If the playoffs happened today, Memphis would be in it. Those 5 teams would more than likely be in it as well. Yeah, there's going to possibly, yeah, they could have.
I just don't think anyone's getting out of this SEC unscathed. I have not seen one team that I go head and shoulders better.
But
again,
that puts you in SEC versus SEC opening round matchups.
I think they'll do it.
There's probably going to be one.
Teams that haven't played,
which will get us away from the blowouts of last year's opening round, like everybody losing by a million points because they had to play on the road. It's not going to phase these quality SEC team playing quality SEC team. But turning the attention back to Memphis, South Florida creeping back into that top 25 again. They got a big game this weekend while Memphis is off and resting and getting ready for the Battle of the Bones, right? The South Florida versus North Texas, the Mean Green, a Friday night game, which is never great. But North Texas, kind of that other team that could just at least play spoiler, if not somehow make it to the conference championship.
They're in my contenders category in the
league.
They're a contender,
and they could take down South Florida. If not, another big win for the South Florida Bulls. And we could be looking at position because we're just at the end of the month. We've got Memphis versus South Florida, right? What's the date of that game?
So it is it's 2 weeks from Saturday.
2 weeks from Saturday. And
the 22nd is a Wednesday. The 3rd would be
the 25th.
25th, okay.
And so, of course, what you got to do if you're Memphis in this situation is you've got to you know, ask for it all at this point, right? You're undefeated. The only team that's bowl eligible. You have the longest win streak in the entire country, the University of Memphis does right now. So if you're a Memphis fan, you need to be asking.
Shout out Michigan.
For all that you can.
Knocking off Ohio State.
Yeah, exactly. But shout out to CJ coming on with us a little bit later. But they, you got to ask for it all. So you got to be asking for game day. We've touched on it earlier a few weeks ago earlier in the season here. But like, could Memphis, where's Memphis's best chance for a game day? They obviously had to get back in the top 25 to make it happen, which they are. Memphis is back in the top 25. And luckily here, USF is in the top 25. So it could be a top 25 matchup. That would be coming to Memphis. That game is being held in Memphis.
It has to be a Saturday game, too.
And that's a Saturday game.
Correct.
So things are lining up. The schedule you broke down for a moment on Calkins this morning, I know Jason and John talked to Calkins about it. The local momentum on the conversation of it is building, and it does seem like a possible matchup. We need USF to win this weekend, right? They have to win Friday night. So this is one game you're going to have to cheer for USF if you're a Memphis fan. You want them to win for the potential of a game day? Because they can't lose. Game day's not happening. They're out of the top 25.
I think the question is, what's more important, game day or the playoff?
The playoff is. We've seen the game day.
So I mean, to me, it's one of those.
You want them to lose.
They would take an additional loss in conference play. And to me, the path for Memphis is very simple. I'm not even sure that they have to go undefeated. They just have to win
the conference.
They just have to win the conference.
They got to win it all. Well, here's my thing. Would it change your opinion if you think? I feel like there is not a great chance that we're going to get game day. And there's one reason. I'm not even looking at the schedule. There's one reason that I don't think we're going to get game day.
Do you have ESPN derangement syndrome?
No. I think it goes to the next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So, got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto Owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
There's search and inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.